Professor Jalal Tawfiq, President of the International Narcotics Control Board, thank you for joining us today. INCB says in its latest report that the evolving landscape of online drug trafficking is presenting new challenges to drug control. What sort of challenges are those?
As you know, I mean, access to internet and access to social media have been both of them maybe one of the main and major advances, I mean, in the history of humankind. They both brought a lot of things, a lot of positive things. And the first one, of course, is access to information and quick access to information and access to data, to knowledge. Well, the other thing is really it's access to people. So people connect and they communicate between them. In a very easy way, so like just you know by click. So that's the thing that has been used by traffickers actually to not only promote for drugs, not only sell drugs, but also by giving false information about drugs and advertising for drugs. I mean, be it drugs that are under control or be it drugs that are you know, new psychoactive substances, be it opioids, be it psychotropics. I mean, all these kind of drugs are now being sold on many different platforms, not even though the dark web, but also on the legitimate platforms. And of course, with not appropriate information on the health consequences, and all what matters to of course to people to know. So and the problem is because of the encryptions, because of the different jurisdictions, it's very difficult for international community to tackle that and to overcome this huge market that's going on now and it's making a lot of money.
The INCB sees opportunities to use online platforms to prevent the non-medical use of drugs. How can this be achieved?
Well, thank you. Thank you. This is a very good question. I mean, it's an important one. It's because internet and social media connect people together, and because they serve the purpose of accessing information in a very quick way and rather broad way. That's exactly what we're using could be taken advantage of by the international community. By policymakers, by you know the countries, to use internet and social media to promote the health and well-being, and that's of course prevention. If you promote the mental hygiene and if you promote the well-being of people, so you're actually doing some universal prevention, but also by promoting and strengthening the access to proper information regarding drugs, but not only regarding drugs, but also regarding the risk behaviors, regarding all the risk factors to get into drugs and to start the drugs. And when you start the drugs, accessing information to really how to get out of that conception of that use. And that's, of course, some selective and also indicated prevention when it comes to treatment and how to access treatment. So it's exactly the same tools that could be used by traffickers, could be used also by policymakers and also by the community and the society to promote access to good information, science-based information, solid information, and also access treatment, access care. And that's, of course, the telemedicine and e-health. Think of the remote areas in our continent, like Africa, for example, where people you know don't have access to treatment. So that could be something that could be used to access health and care for people who use drugs, or even for people who are in actually using drugs or having substance use disorders to access also treatment or rehabilitation.
Professor, you said in your message at the beginning of the report that natural disasters and emergencies related to climate change and conflict resulted in acute humanitarian needs for medicines containing internationally controlled substances in 2023. What are your recommendations for that matter?
You know, internationally controlled drugs doesn't mean internationally restricted drugs, right? And I think one of the main human rights is to access any treatment when it's needed, any kind of treatment, be it vaccine, be it antibiotic, be it cancer treatment, but also treatments for pain, right? Treatment for pain, treatment for cancer management, people for treatment for near death experiences. I mean, all those treatments are really crucial for people, for human being, and to alleviate their suffering. So I don't see why just because you're in a war zone, just because you're in a crisis, why shouldn't you have access to those drugs? And I think we need to make sure that because those people are living in those areas, they're really difficult to access sometimes, that we should maybe pay more attention to have access to their treatments.
That will take me to the next question, which is in the INCB report, it highlights as well the persistent disparities in access to medicines for the treatment of pain. What are the main observations and recommendations to narrow that gap?
And it's unfortunate because look, morphine is something that's really cheap. And yet, developing countries, all the data showing that developing countries don't have access to morphine. Whereas in developed countries, you have excessive use leading to what every single person on earth knows now, which is this very, very horrific epidemic of opioids in North America. So on one hand, you have excessive use, sometimes deadly. And on the other hand, you have people in developing countries that don't have access even to very cheap internationally controlled drugs like morphine. So it has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with policy making, but it also has to do with cultural aspects, the perception of that, the perception of pain and pain management, the training of professionals, and the management of pain that's not necessarily is a focus in many countries. So that's these are the main issues we're experiencing.
Speaking of opiates, what are the measures and recommendations to tackle the threat posed by highly potent synthetic opiates?
Well, there's no other solution than to have the international community working together. It's really the collaboration. If you think that the opioid problem would be solved by one country, that's a big mistake. What we need to do is work on the precursors of those substances, on the pre-precursors of those substances. Make sure that people know and be aware of the lists, of those precursors that obviously have no other purpose than to manufacture and produce those opioids. The second thing is to identify really sources of opioids that are not meant for medical purposes. The third thing is to make sure that we work on the trafficking, whatever platform, whatever network is used, whatever operation is used to identify and early intervene to overcome those trafficking. And also, of course, work on the information of people and have people, make sure people have access to right information and the proper information. And of course, the management of opioids with early interventions, of course, and treatment.